I want to say this. Man, I'm starting to, like, when I skim through Instagram and see people that I know and people that I've known for a long time, you know, check this out. I had some people that I know for certain are doing very well in their lives, doing very well. But what all would that matter if they asses them died today or tomorrow? And, you know, it's indicative that, you know, we maintain or, you know, try to get to a place where we are a lot healthier than what we look like. Because, you know, I'm looking at this one cat and his shirt was like huge. And I was like, he's not wearing a big shirt for no reason. It's because his belly is huge. And they say the crux, like the main source of issues, you could look at someone's stomach and they say you can tell whether they have diabetes, hypertension, just by the shape of the belly and if it sits up high, how round it is. I mean, there's so much to it. And I'm looking at this cat and, you know, and I adore him as an individual, but I'm just, you know, it's hurting my heart because, yo, like, he said that he had went through an issue that hospitalized him for a while and he wasn't able to do all that he normally does, which allots for him to make as much money as he's been making. And he had all his celebrity friends come out and, you know, pray for him. And, you know, they even came through, you know, whatever he needed, they were there. But I'm looking at him like, yo, you're going back to that? You know, I don't care what anybody says. Travel all day, every day. But you still have a choice. Everything you do is a choice. You can't walk around here and think that just because your life seems and feels great and fantastic, that today or tomorrow you won't have a heart attack or you won't be clutching your chest or, you know, or you end up with high blood pressure and it sends you to the hospital at any given moment. What if you are an entertainer right there on the stage? Something could happen. My God. So, and then, you know, everybody is like, oh, but God loves us all and this, that, and the third. But why does it feel like a lot of people are forgetting that God said, I can't use you if you're destroying your own temple? It's your temple. It's your body. You make the decisions to keep it, to maintain it, to be grateful for what God has blessed you with, which is that temple, and he's to take care of that temple. You know, and people are walking around here just blowing up. Like, okay, you're successful, you've blown up, but why are you blowing up physically? Like, what is that? You're blowing up. Like, you have it all. Like, you might have it all. You know, you're close to it. You got all the luxuries, the things that you so dreamed about, the things you aspired to have. Your success allowed you to have all the things you have. But you are, my God, you are getting bigger and bigger. You're going back down that road. Like, what is the deal? Then I see this one cat. He works out a lot. I've known him since high school. But to me, my opinion, the older we are, we shouldn't want to be bulky. I don't care how much muscle you put on, but if you put that muscle over top of fat, you got to burn the fat, right? You're bulking up. He's bulking up. And it, oh, man, I had a client, you know, when I was doing massage therapy at one point and I was really into it. I had one client that used to lay on my, two of them actually. Man, takes me back. And their bodies felt like a freaking brick. How do you massage that? That means you are not drinking enough water to oxygenate your blood flow. And so in order for me to need to press to get the blood circulating, and I can't really get it circulating because your whole body feels like a brick. One cat, he was like, oh, I'll admit I drink a lot of sodas. Negro. Now, because his lifestyle, you know, people, they are lifestyles. I don't know, man. Can we try to find the balance? If you're going to be successful physically too, because you got to take care of your body. You're going to be no good. All of that will go right down the drain, being successful, having all the money, the luxuries and things, and being able to hang out and do all this X, Y, and Z. You swelled up, you know, you're swollen, you don't want to lose the weight. You say you gonna every year, but every day, every night, every weekend, every other week, traveling, you going here, you going there, you're doing this and doing that, you're taking pictures, you're doing selfies, and all your friends around you are just like, we having a blast, but ain't nobody tell you you need to lose weight. Ain't nobody say, yo, drop this weight. You got to get this thing off of you. I want to see you live. What kind of friends do we have where everybody is just complacent and comfortable with the way you are and the way they themselves are? Ain't nobody having that conversation. What, we scared to talk to people now? But we can say any and everything to anybody else. It said in the Bible, it say faithful are the wounds of a friend, and the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I would rather tell you, yo, you got to drop this weight because I want to see you live and I want to see you win. You know, people think, oh, I'm winning. Yeah, okay, you might be winning with your success, with your money, with your degrees, with all your luxuries, but your body is not what God intended for you to do with it. So here we are walking around town, hanging out, parties, day parties, evening parties, taking this trip, taking that trip, and you swollen. You wearing, you got the best clothes, you got the best weaves, the wigs, you got your makeup on fleek. Yeah, okay. You get your nails done, you paying your bills, you cool. But yo, you are dying. You could look at somebody from the outside and be like, ooh. And I'm not saying that the skinniest person on the earth can't have a health issue and just fall out and die before the fat person, okay? I get it, because there are people who looked straight up and down healthy, ran miles and miles, and then fell out and had a heart attack. Yes. But what I'm saying to the people that don't talk to, they don't even have these conversations, but you're friends. You are the friend of somebody. You are the family member of somebody who needs to lose this fucking weight. Walking around here just because your friends are making it comfortable for you, because they ain't saying nothing to you. They ain't saying, yo, you got to drop this. You need to lose this weight. Lots of water. Go to a nutritionist. Go find a nutritionist, somebody who is serious. Go find you a doctor that's all they do is try to help people get on the right track when it comes to eating. It comes to living. Man, there's got to be a balance. I get it. You know, fried chicken. You want to have your fried chicken. Yeah, they say you can have cheat days. But you need to have a whole lot of not cheat days before you can have a cheat day. But people got too many cheat days. They cheating all day, every day. And they big as hell. Swollen. Big and fat. This boy, man, I just watched this video, man. Okay, you talented. But I see that shirt sitting out. And it's huge. And it's making me mad because you just told me that your situation was that you went into the hospital and you was there for a while. You going backwards. Ain't nobody having a conversation with you. Who are these so-called friends? I tell you what, I'd be more of a friend because I'm saying all of this right now. And you got people just keeping people comfortable. You comfortable with the way you are? You comfortable? Is that comfortable to you? Stop. You don't need a partner to help you. Or we gonna do this together, me and my girl. No. If you trying to do it, do it. Do it for you. We should do this together. No, we should not. Whoever it is that might need to work on themselves also. Yeah, sure, that's fine. But guess what? It's still going to boil down to you needing to handle your own business. I don't get it. I don't get it. And it's like, yo, what is the deal? What are people thinking about? Are they really just not caring about their health? About their situation? You living. You happy. Really? Are you really happy though? You big. Your wife ain't happy with you. She, look, or either you ain't happy with her. Who is happy being unhealthy? Who the hell is happy being unhealthy? It's all a front. Selfies. Social media. Oh, we went here. We doing this. We doing that this weekend, next weekend. Taking life for granted. Walking around here thinking, oh, I'm cool. It's good. It's not good. Man. You okay with being unhealthy? That is unbelievable to me. You are just fine being unhealthy. What the fuck? Like, what the fuck? I'm looking at this cat, man. I watched that video and I just was like, man, you don't get it. You traveling here, you on tour, you doing this, that, and the third. You gaining all this weight back. And you trying to enjoy your kids. And so this is what you show your children? This is what winning is? That's not winning, man. That's not winning. And I know when God set you down, because he was sat down. He said he was sat down for a while. Like, God laid his ass out in the hospital for a while. God will do it again, or he'll just take your ass out. He'd be like, I'm done. And you're done. Man, people take stuff for granted, man. This thing is serious. Your health is important. It really is. You know, we got to get to a point where we get rid of what they say. One of my clients was a doctor. He told me 7% of your BM, 7% drop 7% of your BMI, your body mass index. 7% of that. So that you can kind of defeat genetic diseases, you know, hereditary diseases. I don't know where I don't know what to say. Besides, people are really just walking around like zombies, doing what they do, happy as all. They think they happy until God set them down. Until God set you, when he set you down, you done. And I know another cat, man, just blowing up, getting wider and wider. One point, you know, was on a mission to lose the weight and was losing, was doing all right, was focused. And I don't know, man, I don't care about if stress is what's got you, then maybe you need to delete the stress. And so whatever it is that's causing the stress, sometimes you just going to have to just let that thing go if it's going to cost you your health. So guess what? If you can't balance that, then maybe you need to find other people to take your place until you get this thing in order. You know, find some reliable people to step in and handle your business until you get this thing in order, man. You walking around, you getting bigger and bigger. Ain't nothing sexy about it. I don't care how many businesses you got. I don't care how much money you making. Ain't nothing sexy about it. You go on these dating profiles, I see the faces up there. I see the face, not the whole body, because you're hiding, because you know you fat and ain't nobody going to want that. I mean, there's some chicks out here that don't mind it, because all they looking for is just another payday. They like, oh, you know, he fluffy, it's good, he treat me well. Yeah, until his ass die, and you unprepared and didn't have a life insurance policy on that motherfucker. But seriously, like, this is real stuff. This is real life shit, and people just taking this thing for granted, and it's like, it's annoying, because I see it, and I'm just watching people and watching friends around these people. Everybody's acting like it ain't even there. How can you not see your friend look like they gonna die tomorrow? They gonna pass out. They not gonna wake up tomorrow. They not gonna wake up next week. What? How can you not see that? How can you not? And this other thing that I want to speak on, and it's so very important, because someone brought it up to me and they were talking about, you know, how sometimes teenagers, kids, man, especially boys and girls, but especially boys, this is a serious subject here. If boys don't know how, you don't teach them how to apologize when they're wrong or recognize when they're wrong, and they don't learn how to apologize as young adults, even before being preteen, you know, growing up as a child, if you don't teach them that apologies are necessary, when that boy, that young man, becomes an adult and he ends up with a woman, let me tell you this, and he doesn't know how to apologize in that relationship that he gets into, you know, there's so many people out here who are all twisted in the head, mentally disturbed, and just kind of crazy because the way they've been raised or situations that they've gone through, and they've not been healed, and they've never had therapy over it, you know. You get in this relationship where you don't know how to apologize, it's going to be a fucked up situation. You better learn how to, you know, because I meet so many men. I've met so many men in my life that I have watched them. And this is not in a relationship. This is just watching, being a part or being in their lives in a sense where I knew them from experience as friends or coworkers, things like that. If they don't know how to apologize as children, as young men, when they become an adult, shit will be just all the way fucked up. Because you can't be in a relationship with any woman and not know how to apologize and say, I am sorry. Because that is actually key. That is actual key to a great, committed, healthy relationship. When somebody can own up to their own shit. And if you don't know how to own up to it, and you ain't never owned up to it before, even when you were, you know, growing up and your parents just excused it and said, oh, they never apologized. But when they become an adult, they will never know how to apologize, and they will never apologize, and it will become an even bigger issue when it comes to them being in a relationship with a woman and then trying to or seeking out a wife. Because for a long time, I've seen situations where a man, you know, he can be church going and say he has a relationship, quote unquote, with the Lord, and don't know how to apologize, will deflect, will not deal with the issue at hand, will go all the way around the mulberry bush, go to church on Sunday, and guess what? Stomp, shout, pray, cry, pull out the handkerchief, wipe tears, and still go home to a marriage where they don't know how to communicate and don't know how to apologize. When she says, I am hurt, you hurt my feelings, and if she doesn't say it and she just starts crying and she just can't find words, I tell you what, and you don't know how to pull her in, to hone in on that and hug her and hold her and tell her, I'm sorry. And that whole, let me tell you, that whole, if I made you feel bad, I apologize. Who says if I? There is no such thing as if I made you. Apparently, you made this individual feel awful. If you don't know how to hone in and hug a woman, hold her. Fix it. Resolve it. Wipe her tears. Tell her you are sincerely sorry. But when you say things like, if I made you feel some kind of way, that's no apology. You might as well kept that one. You can keep that daggone apology. That ain't worth a damn. If I. You know, people do that all day. If I made you feel some kind of way, because that was not my intention. If I. Yeah, see, we using these little words that we don't realize those words make a damn difference. If I. If I know when I have done something wrong, I am not saying if I, because even my spirit feels weird. Like, yo, I fucked up. What am I trying to deflect from this or make it, you know, or minimalize the situation by saying, if I made you feel, fuck you. Don't come at me with the if I, because you did. I was hurt. I didn't like it. It ain't going down like that. Blase, blase, blase. So, young men, you ain't teaching them how. You ain't teaching your son. You ain't teaching your daughter how to apologize or how to accept the fact that she messed up and learn how to continually say it where she's like, I am sorry and real, and then turn around and not become sorry again over the same thing. You know, because people, you know, that's a whole nother thing there too where, you know, at some point, every time you turn around, your man is apologizing for the same thing. Okay, that's where tough love comes in, and you just got to say, I'm going to have to let your ass suffer. You got to go. I can't deal with that. You done did this twice, three times, four times, five times, too many. Yes, God is a forgiving God. But when somebody apologizes for something, that means I will try not to make that same mistake or do that same thing to hurt you again. But to turn around and do it again, that means that somebody got a problem. Whitney Houston, we got a problem. Listen, we ain't gonna sit here and you're gonna keep apologizing for the same bullshit. You're going to get your act together. Because apologizing means I am not going to do that again. I realize that that hurt you. That hurt us. That hurt our relationship. That hurt our marriage. So to just be walking around here acting like you cool. Oh, I'm cool. You know, I apologize. And then a whole month later, you turn around and do the same thing. The same situation. And then you turn around and apologize. You ain't nothing but a sorry son of a... Well, anyway, true. That's what you are. So, you know, how do you get out of a marriage where you lacked communication, you lacked how to apologize, and turn around and get married again? She a good woman. Yeah, she might be a good woman, but you might mess up that good woman, that second good woman. Or third in some people's cases. But you might mess that thing up. You can't walk around here and you jump from the fire into the frying pan. What the? Whoop de woo. What you doing? Hoo de woo. What you doing? Ka-tow! I mean, get the message. Message? Message? You walk around here doing the same damned thing. Hurting people along the way. Apologizing for the same thing. Just keep doing it over and over again. But again, backtracking. If you ain't teaching your kids how to apologize now, they ain't gonna be worth a damn when they become adults. They ain't gonna be communicators. They won't know how to have a healthy, happy relationship. It's always gonna be something. Because communication is going to be their downfall. Because they don't know how to apologize. And all they can think of to do is deflect. and talk about something else or point the finger back at the other person because they are not mature enough to handle somebody telling them, hey, you did this wrong. I don't like that of you, or this was unacceptable. I am hurt because of what you've done. You know, when a man is turns into a six-year-old boy because you're scolding him and he deflects, man, that ain't no man. That's a kid. He immature. And ain't nobody got time for that. Nobody got time for that. Leave that be. Let that go. Hey, you can't get it together. It's going to hurt me like it's going to hurt you, but I might have to let your ass go because your ass want to be doing the same thing. And unless we go and get some counseling and we continually do this and someone speaks to you individually, speaks to me individually, and then speaks to us collectively, then possibly, you know, that's the only way that something positive could come out of that. Otherwise, if you think that you got this and I'm going to get it right, okay, and you ain't got it right yet and it's been a couple of years, several years, chill. Go on with your bad self. If you want to grow old like that, because I am not growing old, you know, I am not growing old with the hair coming in, the gray hair coming in, and the bags under the eyes, because I'm wondering why you did this, and I feel lonely at night, and you never communicate, you don't know how to say you sorry, we still got an unresolved issue, I gotta wake up in the morning and turn around and look at you, and because you feel like it's a new day, here you come trying to climb on top of me. You ain't gonna climb on top of me. No, because we didn't resolve something, and my spirit is not, it will feel even more vexed because the issue was not resolved. And here you come tapping my shoulder, thinking you gonna get you some. Yeah, no, ain't gonna happen, Captain. So my thing is, if you're going to be in a healthy, happy relationship, you better learn how to apologize, learn how to resolve issues, learn how to talk it out and not scream, yell, and it become a damn yelling match, you know, or wait until somebody tells you about yourself because they're hurt and they don't like something you did. Next thing you know, it turns into a big old argument. Well, what about when you did X, Y, and Z? Okay, yeah, but now we becoming kids all over again. We ain't adults, and we don't know how to act as adults should when it comes to communicating. You don't hold stuff in and then blow up because the person comes out of their mouth to tell you that they feel hurt behind something you did. Next thing you know, oh, really? So you hurt behind that. But what about when you, okay, but you had an opportunity to talk about that a long time ago. That's just like, okay, on the job, here comes so-and-so talk about, you know, about a month ago, you left X, Y, and Z upstairs on the second floor, and it was never completed. A month ago? But you seen me between now and a month ago, and you had an opportunity to say to me, hey, by the way, what was this on yesterday, or what was this earlier today? But I have a feeling that somebody got their wires crossed, because it's sure enough could not have been. Because I'm all about completion. My thing is I ain't never, ever just going to leave something. So the thing is I believe whomever had taken something that I was working, that I initially started, they may have taken that work and just never completed it. Because, you know, people trifle like that. And then you got haters where they'll look and see who received the information or who started the process and be like, all right, well, I'm going to get them in trouble and just leave it. So I did not receive that well when Miss Thang came to me one day last week talking about your name was on it. And this was about a month ago. I will not receive that because I am all about completion. I'm just not going to leave something and then be like, oh, I'll come back to it. I know you have to complete it because the work has to be completed. You can't leave something undone. The next day, it can't be done because everything is on a time slot, a time schedule. And I'm very familiar with that. I've been on the job for almost 3 years. So why would I not know that? But anyway, neither here nor there. But just to make a point, we wait to communicate things when we have all the opportunities in the world to do that. We don't wait till somebody points the finger or tells you about you and then, oh, well, by the way, what about when you did X, Y, and Z? I remember when. Okay, now we getting to become trife. And you had all the opportunity, all the days, weeks, months in the world to express how you felt about a particular situation. You pull that person to the side, you pull him, you say, hey, babe, I need to talk to you about something. I felt like X, Y, and Z because you did X, Y, and Z. And if I got to be with somebody, I will not be with somebody that if I explain that to you and I do that the right way and I pull you and say, hey, babe, can we talk about something? And I'm not yelling at you and I'm not raising my voice. And you go, oh, so you hurt. And you dismiss my feelings and you say to me, oh, well, I didn't like when you did X, Y, and Z. And I go, well, when did that happen? It was a while ago. A while ago? Well, this don't even count. What you mean it don't count? It happened. Okay, but you had a chance to talk about that. And why are we deflecting? See, now I think you Trump deflecting away from the issue at hand. Deflecting. So, for me, let me meet somebody that likes to deflect, because I done been there and done that, got a whole bunch of room keys, t-shirts, the shorts, the candy bar wrappers with all that bullshit. I have met them, have dealt with them, and won't do that again. And the moment I see the signs of someone who is, when you're talking to them and they go, oh, well, what about, okay. It's like something. My eyes close, I shake my head, I almost want to go into an epileptic fit. And I'm like, oh, what? And we won't do that. I'll walk away. I will dismiss myself. I will delete myself from you. You will never see, hear about me or of me because I don't do that. I don't deal with people like that. I will not. When people claim I'm so smart, I'm so intelligent, I'm such a good person, good, but you don't know how to communicate. You struggle with that, and you ain't got it together yet. Let me tell you something. Some people think good communication is, okay, I come home, I pay the bills, I make sure my wife is, she don't have any complaints. But she really does have complaints. And y'all ain't really having conversations. So, and then you're throwing in her face, well, this is paid, that's paid, I'm taking care of everything I need to take care of. But emotionally, you're not there. All she knows is there's a wastebasket upstairs. The computer, if she goes through that browser, she can see you've been on porn sites. You've been jacking off at 2, 3, 4 in the morning. 1 in the morning. Midnight. Around 11 when she in bed. Yes, you do. Mm-hmm, child. Because there's no emotional connection anymore. And a part of that is your fault. And you're blaming her. Y'all need counseling. And nobody wants to do it because this person's got a degree. That person's got a degree. We are successful on our jobs and in our careers. What do we need therapy or a counselor for? We already been married for 35 years, but you might still need damn counseling, child. Because ain't no reason why there should be a wastebasket upstairs with a tissue, cum-filled tissue, paper towels, because you're jacking off and you're not getting what you desire from your wife. Instead, you seek out every other woman. And she seeks out every man for something that he's not giving her. She can't wait to go to work to meet him, to have a conversation because he talks to her and he smiles at her and he compliments her. He is taking the place of the things that her own husband doesn't do. He doesn't say to her anymore. He doesn't compliment her. He doesn't make her feel like she is on top of the world. He doesn't make her feel like the queen she really is. So therefore, you have two individuals missing, lacking things, and everybody is just, well, long as the bills are paid, I come home, she might cook a little something, I might eat, I might cook a little something, she might eat. Long as we clean and do what we supposed to do, y'all just coexisting, that's the type of marriage y'all want, for better or for worse. I mean, if I got to live like that, it's almost like having a roommate. You know, I lay on my side of the bed, I'm turned the other way, you laying on your side of the bed, you turned the other way. That's how we doing this now? That's the type of marriage we got? When you go back and look at your old pictures, you go back and you look at and think about all the times that y'all was having sex and how happy y'all were and how intimate y'all were. Y'all don't have any more intimate moments. You don't see any pictures of you and her, she and you on social media at all. Not even a video. Not even of y'all, you know, looking like y'all having a blast. Nope. But guess what? You're going to wear the ring, though. I'm married. How you going to be married and you screwing everybody else? I'm married. How you going to be married and you all up in every other dude's face waiting for a compliment, hoping he say something positive to you because you ain't getting it at home? That's where counseling needs to come in. And somebody needs to sit down with some counseling and some therapy and get it the hell damn together. That's not how you do a marriage. Ain't no marriage worth it if both of y'all are just coexisting because the bills are paid and y'all been together for so many years and you have children. What does that mean? I want my best friend. When I meet the man that I believe really and truly is digging me and I'm digging him, there's a connection. And if there, should be, let's just go there. If there should be a man that has been in my presence, but has not reached out, has not talked or communicated in such a way that, hey, I'm interested in you, I'm digging you, I have lots of time to spend with you. Because a lot of time with me means, hey, we watching my favorite shows together, we together all the time, you got your own place, and I can go to you, or if you want, you can come to me, but it probably won't be for a little bit because I'm still working on some things. But in that instance, I need to be able to spend time with the man that claims he wants to be with me. You need to have time for me. I don't need to hear excuses. Oh, X, Y, and Z, this is what happened. I can't make it. And those instances usually occur because you have other responsibilities. So that's why I am not, I'm very particular when I am meeting someone, because I look at you and you may think, oh, I got time. Yeah, okay. And I've met dudes that, I got time. Truck driver on the road, ain't got no time. Chair. You see him every other week. I say, babe, we can't do this. You seem like a great dude if you had time. But because you ain't got time, I ain't got time for that. Then you got the dude that's like, oh, I'm in Baltimore and I'm hoping that, you know, we can get together one of these weekends. I need to see you. I need to gauge you. I need to feel you. I need to know what you look like. We ain't doing that yet. Oh, chill. I ain't got that kind of time either. And people be like, oh, Mina, you know, it's got to be somebody. Yeah, I'm sure it got to be somebody. Trust me, I'm feeling the same way. But I am not going to settle just to say that I have a man or, oh, I got somebody. True. Because I'm not going to go through what I have already endured or experienced in my lifetime. I'm not going to go back through that. Certain things I already know as a grown adult woman, what I am willing to tolerate and the things I will just absolutely not. And that was that dude that told me, I am not willing to let go of my pork. Oh, nigga, you want your pig instead of Mina? Okay, from the Rudy to the Tony, you gonna eat your shitterlings. And your shitterlings will rub your back, give you a massage, because I am certified. Give you a massage and rock your world put you to sleep. Okay, go on and eat that pork. Pork on your fork. You nasty bastards. Eating that swine. Putting all that nasty crap on your plate. That's just disgusting. And you going to tell me I'm missing a potential? No, you're missing out on the greatest woman alive. You're going to go through all them dating profiles and skim through them women, and you're going to meet them physically and realize, guess what? They ain't Mina. And all you had to say to me was, damn, babe, if me not eating pork will make you happy, I will do that for you. If you and I are meant to be and I feel like there's a strong connection, I am willing to let go of that. He said, I'm not letting go of my pork. I said, this nigga, he done lost his mind. This coon ass nigga told me, I'm not letting go of my pork. I said, your ancestors ate it because that's all they had. You know, and it's unfortunate that some of us, you know, everybody was like as slaves. We was like, we's going up north. Since freedom is opportune, but then some of y'all's ancestors and family members was like, we's going to stay down here, down south. Yeah. And still what was enduring some things because people didn't care about no constitutional right. They didn't care about freedom. They was like, you still a nigga. And we still gonna lynch people and drag you by a chain from the back of our pickup truck. And then hang your ass. They were still doing that. The 20th century, the 19th century, they were still doing that. They're still doing that. But gone with yourself. We's gonna go up north. And then the rest of the mother bastards was like, we's going to stay down here, down south. This is our land. Mm-hmm. And then when they found out the land really wasn't theirs, because you know the people was like, oh, this was my plantation. You worked for my ancestors, you know. And so that thing is still prevalent today. And, you know, because I remember the one dude at my job, he was always on my top, which means he was always chasing after Mina. Mina, you look good. Missing teeth. Got married. Had a wife. A whole wife. July the 22nd, they got married. Mm-hmm. Chill. And got married. And, missing teeth. I said, where you from? Arkansas. Who? Your family decided to stay? What the fuck? Anyway, I remember having different conversations with him. I used to be like, you know, Mary and Joseph had sex. What Bible is you reading from, Mina? Yeah, that was Mr. Arkansas. What Bible is you reading from? I said, the same Bible you're reading from. Well, I want to know what scripture you is saying that they done had sex. Where is that said? I said, well, I will give you, and I broke it all the way down for him. I said, yes, it was Joseph's seed and the Holy Spirit coupled together that created Christ. But, you know, I said, but if you ain't ready for this Bible lesson, please sat your tail down, Mr. Arkansas. So that was the whole deal there. But for me, if I meet the one or the one who thinks he's met me, you know, there needs to be a lot of communication and he needs to have a lot of time available for me. Because I like to spend time. Spending quality time is one of my love languages. And anybody that is familiar with the five love languages, which anybody should be who is seeking a relationship, you really should be up on that. The five love languages. It's very important. You need to know. You need to Google it. You need to take the quiz. You need to find out. And you need to always have that handy when seeking out your mate, woman or man, whatever. Five love languages. So, yeah, I think I'm going to sign off. It is 10:31 p.m. and I'm going to have to go to work in the morning, and I'm going to need my rest.